This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The Women's Fund of the Greater Cincinnati Foundation was started 20 years ago to ensure the economic self-sufficiency of women in our community. And joining us to discuss the work and the mission of the Women's Fund of the Greater Cincinnati Foundation are Executive Director Megan Cummings and Leadership Council Board Chair Wijdan Dresat, an attorney with Katz Teller. And you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Megan and Wijdan, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Interesting note that this is International Women's Day.
Yes, as I joked with Megan, that's one day down, 364 to go, I guess. But actually, it's appropriate that we're here today because, as you've noted, the Women's Fund is really focused on the economic self-sufficiency of women, which for our purposes is certainly a year-round work, but more importantly, is work to really lift the entire community.
Megan, tell us some more about the mission of the organization.
Sure. So we're really focused on ensuring the economic self-sufficiency of women in our region and ignite a shared desire to improve that. And we do this in many ways. First is leadership. We want to be at the table at these community initiatives talking about how all issues in our community affect women differently or how we can bring a gender lens to that work. We want to listen to the women we serve and then bring decision makers together so we can solve big community problems faster. Secondly, we research. And as Koki mentioned, in the first part of the show, the research is really a hallmark of what the Women's Fund has been about over our 20-year history. Our seminal piece of research was the Pulse Report, The Status of Women and Girls, and that came out in 2005. And it was really interesting when this report came out. We had convened a lot of community leaders that work on women's issues, and we said, okay, how can the Women's Fund be helpful to your efforts? And we really thought the answer would be, well, we need money. And that wasn't it at all. All these community leaders said we really need research and data about this. There is such a small percentage of research being dedicated to these issues. And so we took the lead on that, and we released the Pulse, the Status of Women and Girls, in 2005. And since then, we've released seven additional reports documenting different pieces of our community and applying a gender lens to some of the most important issues in our community, and it's really become a hallmark of what we do.
So would you say the research shows there's a need for that gender lens?
Absolutely. So let me give you an example. A few years ago, our Chambers of Commerce's Vision 2015 at the time, now Skyward, and Strive Partnership and Partners for Competitive Workforce and Agenda 360 came together to do a jobs outlook for our region. Really important data. What jobs are growing, what sectors are growing, how it's going to impact our community. And the top line results of that was we're going to have good job growth, and that's a great thing. We looked at this data, and with their full partnership and work from the UC Economics Center, we said, what would it look like if we applied a gender lens to this data? And what it showed us is a lot of the sectors that are growing the most are dominated by women, and they're very low wage. So give one example of that would be like home health care aides. That sector is growing at about 60%. We know a lot of boomers are aging in home, and those jobs, more than 90% are women, and they make about $21,000 a year. So when we look at this in a different way to see what kind of jobs are men and women holding and what do those jobs pay, it really paints a completely different picture for our community and helps us clarify the challenges so we can move forward with some solutions.
How many different pieces of research have you done over the years?
Yeah, we've done about, I think, 7 or 8, and we have a few on the docket for this year as well. That jobs report I just talked about is actually being reissued with a combination of organizations, and they are actually going to do this report again, including that gender and racial components to that. So that's really important that that's going to be part of that research going forward.
Yeah, I was going to pick up on that. I think what has been crucial in focusing on the research has really been the fact that we have been able to dig in to really identify some things that you otherwise might not have picked up on in looking at the aggregate information. So as Megan just mentioned, by applying that gender lens and really digging into what the numbers said, that actually elicited some results that I think were somewhat surprising and frankly would then lead us to think that we're going to need to devote additional energy into some areas that perhaps we wouldn't have otherwise discovered. As we said, when we looked at that Jobs and Gender Outlook report and really dug into it, the reality is by 2020, the expectation is that 4 out of 7 women would have a medium income that would be insufficient to support themselves and one child without public assistance. Now, I think that's obviously a huge problem to deal with. The same with when we're looking at poverty numbers, when we're looking, you know, right now that's really a big focus of our community, and rightly so. And part of the discussion that needs to happen is not just what are the poverty numbers, but where do we see that? And so when you look at the children, for example, growing up in poverty in Cincinnati, the reality is that 2/3 of those children are in female-headed households. That is important to know, not just for us to be able to diagnose the problem, but frankly for us to look at what kinds of things we need to take into account when we're trying to create solutions or try to help people out of poverty and people get sort of a hand up, if you will. And part of that involves some of the unique issues that come up. If you are a parent and you are trying to deal with going into the workforce, and that creates some other issues that perhaps we have not been as focused on. And without dealing with those root causes, we're not likely to have a great deal of success.
Now, poverty is one that's always Cincinnati has a high poverty rate, from what I understand. Right. That's always been a big surprise.
Sadly, that's one where we're actually number 2 in the nation, and that is not a scenario where I want to be clear on my statistics. Megan's going to clean me up on that one, but number 2.
Second in the nation for kids in poverty.
Right.
And I really think there's a special moment in our community right now to talk about these issues. I think the business community and the government and a lot of nonprofit organizations are coming together in really unique and compelling ways right now to address this issue. And we are happy to support and complement that effort. It's a really unique time in our community. And I think this stat has gotten people's attention, rightfully so.
Hmm. Do you have any thoughts about how to encourage women to enter higher paying professions such as manufacturing?
Well, funny that you say that, actually. One of the things I love about the Women's Fund is that we've also looked for different innovative opportunities in order for us to engage in the work that we do. And one of those was actually came out of that concept of saying, you know, there's a great deal of manufacturing jobs that's not traditionally been an area where women have thought to make their way. And yet those are really great jobs from a variety of perspectives. So one of the projects that we've taken on is working with several groups in the Northern Kentucky area on a project called Raise the Floor, which has helped to bring women in. We kind of looked at the big picture to say what's holding people back, and part of it was making sure that people are aware of the opportunities, so educating them about the opportunities and then providing the education on actually being able to do the work. So working with Gateway Community College in Northern Kentucky, but also bringing in the employers to talk about what are the needs and what are the barriers to doing so. One of the things we discovered, for example, is childcare becomes a real issue. And so we were able to partner with several different groups in that area to do a pilot program that not only worked on bringing women in and educating them and, you know, creating those opportunities, but then really trying to support them as they took on that role. So whether it was providing some childcare gap coverage, if you will, to allow them to afford that while they were coming up the scale in order to be able to become self-sufficient themselves. And that's been a great success. And in many respects, looking at opportunities to say, how did that work? What didn't work? What do we need to do differently? And is it scalable so that we can apply it in other contexts?
Absolutely. That's a really wonderful moment when our research is showing us something and then we can provide a real life practical solution to it. And that's exactly what Raise the Floor is doing.
Joining us to discuss the work and the mission of the Women's Fund of the Greater Cincinnati Foundation, Executive Director Megan Cummings and Leadership Council Board Chair Wijd Andresat. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Megan, we talked about Raise the Floor. What are some of the other programs that the Women's Fund is involved in?
Yeah, you know, something we've been looking at lately is an issue of domestic violence. This isn't one of our core areas. We really work on child care, employment, training and education, and living wage issues. But we were hearing anecdotally of this phenomena that as women are kind of completing a certificate program or getting ready to take that next step in their career, there is an uptick of domestic violence. And we thought, gosh, if we don't address this and learn more about this problem, we're simply not doing our jobs, because we want women to be able to move up that scale of self-sufficiency. So we partnered, as we often do, as a cornerstone of our work is partnership with local agencies who are gathering this data with their own clients, so we can really put our finger on how often this is happening and to what extent. And it will better inform our work and make us more effective. So that's just one of the projects that's coming up for us. When we see a new obstacle that maybe we hadn't considered before, we want to research it, clarify it, and then help be part of the solution and bring the right people together to do that.
And similar to that, about 2 years ago now, we released a report on what's called the cliff effect. And that concept is really that as you look at the programs that are available to assist women when they're in the workplace, by virtue of the way the policies are written, you reach a certain point as a woman that if you're being offered a raise, and that's exactly what we want. We want people to be in their work doing well and being able to succeed and go up the ladder, so to speak. But what we found is that as you go up that ladder, there's a point at which the benefits that you lose as a result of gaining incrementally in your wage are so sufficient that it's literally you're going up the ladder and then off a cliff, because you then have to effectively rebuild all of those benefits that you've just lost to the point of having to virtually double your income before you're back to the same position that you were. So that we were finding this bizarre phenomenon of women who, you know, when approached with a raise or a promotion, we're having to say, I can't take that, because if I take that, it's going to cost me too much in other benefits. Now, what I love about the Women's Fund is we uncovered that. We then went about educating, I think, the rest of the community as to that. And then Megan will tell you about a little follow-up that's coming up that then takes the next step.
Sure. So the Women's Fund, we work on systems issues. So how do we change policy and practices and environment to help women and girls in our community? And so with the next phase of the Cliff Effect research, we'll be looking at these state policies in depth to say, how could these be structured more effectively? Because I think we can find really strong common ground that we want these policies to be effective. We want people to be encouraged to take bigger jobs and move up that scale, and policy should support that. So by educating, we can really make a difference in this area.
Megan, one of the reports that you did in 2007 was on women in leadership positions.
Sure.
Corporate board positions. How have the numbers changed since 2007? Have they gotten better, and how do we compare nationally?
There's still a long way to go on women in leadership roles at companies. I think if you even look at the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, it's still embarrassingly low how many women are there. One place that the Women's Fund has made a pretty dramatic difference in this is from our original Pulse report in 2005. And one of the key areas we researched in that was women's leadership in Cincinnati. And one of the beautiful things about the Women's Fund is it's not all about us and just the work we do. We want to inspire and ignite the rest of the community to take on these issues. So from that original report, the 2005 Pulse report, the Chamber of Commerce saw this, Cincinnati USA Regional Chamber, and said, we can play a role in this. And that's how the whole We Suite was created, the We Lead classes that has developed women leaders for years now, more than a decade now.
I was going to say the Chamber has had an entire program called the WE program, Women Excel program, which is really a suite of programs, not only a leadership program specifically targeted at women, but an awards process to identify, you know, women's achievements, a mentorship program. So a variety of programs that have been championed really by the Chamber as a way to work toward improving those numbers. And as we said, we've got a long way to go, but it's certainly something that we've moved along. I think this is something, just picking up on what, you know, the conversation with Koki, what is also striking to me is at a time when everything else is, we're in a fairly divisive place in our to say the least, particularly during a political year. But I think these have always been issues where we've looked for common ground, and the reality is we've been able to bring people together on kind of a common goal and a common agenda, because ultimately it's not really focused on women and girls to the exclusivity of anything else. It's just recognizing that by focusing on women's economic self-sufficiency, you're really providing a fairly powerful lever for the economic development and improvement of the entire community. And that's really the way that we've approached it. You occasionally have people say, well, why is it the Women's Fund? It's really just focusing on that, as recognizing that that's a real pivot point that allows us to get a lot of leverage and a lot of move the needle significantly by focusing on that particular segment of the community. Yeah.
So who makes up the Women's Fund? The staff, the board, support? I guess you've got people across all different age groups and professions?
Yes, I'm actually delighted to report that. So the fund itself is actually housed at the Greater Cincinnati Foundation. We owe a great debt to them for all the in-kind support that they provide to us. But our leadership council, which is really the advisory committee that works with the fabulous staff, we're a small but mighty staff with Megan and Barb Linder and Lauren Jones, but we are able to leverage that with a group of committed volunteers, and I'm delighted to report that that's both men and women. We vary across, you know, age sectors and certainly in terms of community involvement and what we've done from our, you know, our day jobs, as we say. But we also have men involved in this process and have always done so. In fact, one of our key approaches has really been that, again, this is not a women's issue. This is a community issue. And so in that respect, we've recognized, welcomed, and appreciated that men are an integral part to what we do.
Absolutely.
Megan, of course, Cokie coming in next month to be your featured speaker. And the event's called A Conversation With. So you've been doing this for a number of years now.
Yeah, this will be our fifth year we've done a conversation event, and this is our signature event. We've had Marion Spencer, Phyllis Sewell, of course, a noted business leader in Cincinnati, Senator Olympia Snow, and last year we had journalist Lisa Ling. So Cokie Roberts will be a very strong fifth addition to this conversation event. It's Tuesday, April 5th, and it is almost a complete sellout. We have less than 50 tickets left to the event. So if you are interested, CincinnatiWomen'sFund.org, those tickets are available and a few sponsorship spots left too. We're going to have about 700 people there, and it's a chance for her to just share her career, this amazing experience she's had documenting women over the course of U.S. history.
Why did you start this series, Megan?
Yeah, we wanted a place, an intimate setting where a woman could share her triumphs and obstacles of her career and really noteworthy careers. And instead of just inviting a female celebrity to speak, we really wanted to go beyond that. So what does it have in common with what we're trying to accomplish with the Women's Fund? When we brought Senator Olympia Snow in, she is known for building common ground across the aisle. And that's really something we value, too, at the Women's Fund. So she spoke to that. Lisa Ling has embedded herself as a journalist in communities that are often misunderstood. And we still deal with that sometimes with the kinds with the women we serve and people having a perception issue and us really educating them through our research. So Lisa was able to speak to that. And then this year, just like the Women's Fund, Cokie is fair, informed, and understands the pivotal role that women play in our society. So she is a perfect fit this year for our audience and to represent our work.
So, Ashton, what kind of impact do you think the Women's Fund is having?
Well, what I hope we're doing is really getting some traction on making systemic change. That's really been our focus. And as Cokie noted, I think the hallmark has been doing that from a very well-informed place. So really doing the research, making sure that we know where the issues are, looking at them differently than most people have, and then really making a difference. So our focus has been women's